Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And something inside of me broke, and I just looked up, and I didn't care who heard me. I wasn't concerned about all that. I was at a place of brokenness, and I said out loud, very audible, I said, if you are who everyone says you are, can you, will you, can you help a guy like myself? I'm tired of this. I am broke.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Psalms 139 says, I know you before the foundations of this earth, that I strategically molded you and fashioned you in your mother's womb. And not one day concerning you, child of God, came to pass that was not already written in my book. So we got to know a couple things. If he wrote the book, he's the author of the book, right? And so what you're walking out today was already written in the book. It was predestined. It was ordained. You can't be the woman of God that God intends you to be without going through this very night. You can't go around it. You can't go above it. You can't go underneath it. You got to go through it. Amen. He set this day in place. And I promise you, not only did he set this day in place because he's doing some things in your life, he's molding you, he's fashioning you, but there's somebody in here tonight that don't know Jesus. Now, there may be, here's what I know. When you get a crowd this large, there's got to be somebody in here that's straddling the fence. They've heard about this Jesus. They just don't really know Jesus. Because I promise you, the only way for us to come to the cross is through a broken heart. See, you can't come to Jesus any other way. The only way for you to come to the cross is through a broken heart. You got to get to the place of realizing that you've got some things going on in your life. You're messed up, you're jacked up, and you need help. Hey, you got to understand that the only help comes from the Lord, and you got to work and do whatever it takes to work towards that. It is it's a faith thing, but it's also a heart thing. And so you got to be broke, guys. And you know, I'm like David. When David first got up here, I can look across the room and I can see there's some broken hearts in here tonight. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's good to have some broken hearts because God tends to the brokenhearted. His word tells us that. His word says, I'm close to you who are broke. As a matter of fact, there's one of my favorite scriptures in the word of God in Matthew 5 and 3. It says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You know, we see blessings contrary to what the Word of God sees as blessings. Let me give you an example. I see it as a blessing when I get a raise at my job. I see it a blessing when I sign on a new home and I get the keys. That's a blessing. Those are blessings, right? And those are provisions from God. Those are blessings. I'm not taking nothing away. But God says, blessed is the broke. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Why is that? Because when you're broke and when you mourn and when you find your place in yourself in a situation of brokenness, you have an opportunity to receive from God in ways that you would have never had the opportunity to receive from Him had it not been for that brokenness. And so God has the ability to use. Not only does he have the ability, David read it earlier, he not only does he have the ability to use jails and prisons and incarcerations, exiles, prisons, slavery, you know, that's what the word of God calls, you know, exactly what you guys are going through. Not only does he have the ability to use those, he will strategically put you through those to get your attention. I'm going to ask a question real quick and I'm going to move on, but how many of you guys gave your life over to the Lord behind prison walls, behind jails or prisons? A lot of you. You know, I always say, and a lot of you guys had given your life over to the Lord because you had a praying grandmama or a mama, somebody that drug you to church, amen? That's just what it is. And so God used, in both situations, God used your incarceration to get you to a place back to him that you realized that you needed him. Some of you guys were prodigal sons, and some of you guys just didn't even realize that you needed a Savior until you got locked up and you got to the place of brokenness. It was your incarceration. He set you down somewhere long enough to make you realize that I need the Lord. My way is obviously not the right way. I'm needing some change. I'm needing something to be different in my life. I'm needing God. See, they like to push jails and jails and prisons. They like to push Bibles and God and religion, which is, hey, amen, praise God. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always say if they would stop trying to take it out of this world the way that they're taking it out of this world, maybe they wouldn't need it as much inside the jails and prisons. Amen? That's just the truth. I get so excited to tell the testimony about what God's doing for me today that I really want to kind of skip about where God's brought me. I just want to get right to what God's doing in my life today. But in order for you guys to really understand where God's got me today, you got to kind of know where he's brought me out of. And so as excited as I am about where God has me today, I just want to share just a little bit. And I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time on my life before my salvation. I really want to get to the time and the place that God really got my attention. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Both my folks were addicts, meth addicts, for a lot of years. Because of their addiction, they chose meth over me. Or not, hey, let me just say this. They chose drugs over me. I'm not specifically going to say it was meth. I just know they were meth. So anyways, they chose drugs over me. And they dropped me off at a mutual friends of the family's house. They drove away, and I never seen them again. Never seen my folks again. In the time of me being with this lady, I became real hardened. My heart became hardened. I was 12 years old. I was just rebellious. I was a bit rebellious against this lady. I was rebellious against this world, and I was sure rebellious of any God that I heard about in passing. I was not raised in the church. My mom and dad did not take me to church. I was not, didn't pray, didn't do any of them things, never read a Bible and never prayed a prayer all my life. And so that just wasn't who I was. That's just not what I was raised around and what I've done. You know, I tell David and my wife all the time, that they were church babies. I call them church babies. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. They was on the roster at the church. That was baby Markham. They was on the roster at the church long before they was ever even born. Baby Markham. We would be in, you know, traditional Baptist churches when I first started with the ministry. And we'd, you know, we go to our ministry, Truth Infusion. We evangelize. We travel around and we just go to various different churches. And hey, our foundation of our ministry is Jesus. Hey, no two ways about it. Jesus is the answer for whatever's going on. As a matter of fact, Scripture is very clear about the foundation of what we believe in is Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was saying when he said, when Jesus was walking with the disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or just one of the prophets. And he said, well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And then Peter said, well, that's easy. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Your name is now Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon what rock? Upon Peter? No. Upon the confession of what Peter made. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And as long as we in the church in and of itself always focuses on the fact that Jesus Christ is in fact the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we will never fail. If you always realize and always keep that in mind of always remembering that Jesus is the rock, the Messiah, your foundation, you'll never fail. I, however, was not born and raised in the church, but we'd be at traditional Baptist churches, and what I mean by traditional Baptist churches is the hymnals. You know, traditional Baptist churches, they still read now the hymnals, and here I am trying to find a hymnal, number one, and then I don't even know how to follow along. I'm just like, where are y'all at? I can't ask them because they don't need a hymnal. They're just belting it out. They know every hymnal. They know every song in the hymnals, and I'm like, that don't make no sense. Here I am. I can't even follow along. Y'all don't even need one. But that's a blessing. Amen? You know, my wife tells me all the time, she says, Chuck, I just don't have a testimony like you have. And I said, that's nonsense. That in and of itself is a testimony. That in and of itself, the fact that you do not have to go through that lifestyle that I had to go through, that is an amazing blessing. And I said, you need to be testifying to that. That is your testimony. So you need to be testifying to that, which is an amazing blessing. I'm grateful and thankful because I prayed for it for many years. But anyways, I wasn't raised that way. And so what I did as a youngster is I lived life the way I knew to live life. You know, I went out on my own. I became rebellious, and I got involved in drugs. And as a matter of fact, I sought out the very thing in which I heard took my folks away from me, meth. And at a very young age, I was shooting, rolling a bow. It didn't matter. Methamphetamines, that was my thing for a lot of years. I was a meth addict for a lot of years. What I didn't realize is meth isn't free, that it costs money. And so I started doing what I only knew to do, and I was kick-dooring houses and selling dope or doing whatever I needed to do to get by to for my meth so I could feed my addiction. And I really want to get through a few things. I don't want to go through all the details of me as a hellion, but I found myself in TDC for the first time at a very young age. 10-11-869 was my very first TDCJ number, and I had three to follow. On my second time getting out of the penitentiary, y'all know that in jails, they like to give you Bibles, or, you know, you can find a Bible on just about any shelf. You turn around, you can pick up a Bible. I was still rebellious inside jails. I just did not go to church when everybody went to church. I just did not believe in this Jesus that I heard so much about. I just did not believe in God because, hey, I mean, if there was a God, I mean, why would he, you know, why would my folks leave me at such a young age? Since God was God, why did he let the things happen to me that was happening to me? If he was the God that everyone says he is, then where are you when I need you, God? And so I was rebellious. And so I found myself just shunning those things. As a matter of fact, I'd say things like, if you're scared, go to church, homeboy. I would say things like that. I was mocking the very God who loves me. I was making a mockery out of. But I didn't know it because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. I did not believe. The second time I come out of the penitentiary, hey, there's not a person in this room, guys, not one of you, that already have in mind, right, while you're sitting here, you're not already thinking, I can't wait till I get back. Boy, I'll get out of here. I'm fixing to go. Man, just give me 2 weeks and I'm going to be back. Y'all just keep the lights on for me, Motel City. Y'all keep it. Every single one of y'all in here have a desire within your heart. You want to find a good job. You want to get a good job. You want to get your kids back, man. Maybe find you a good man. And my desire was this. I said, man, I'm gonna get out. And I'm gonna find me a good job, and you know, I'm gonna get me a girlfriend and maybe turn her into my wife. I don't know. But I didn't have Jesus. But I was just, you know, maybe get a house and maybe have a fence. I don't know. I might even get a dog. I don't know. But I want some things in my life. You know what I'm saying? I just want some things. And so I had every desire not to go back, not to use. But every time I got out, whether it was just a prison or whether it was just going to county jail or whether it was ISF, who knows what ISF is? In-house sanction facility. It's a little slap on the wrist what they give you. But whether it was ISF, whether it was Safe P, it don't matter what it was. Well, every time I got out of that, because I've been through more rehabs, I worked more 12-step programs, I had more sponsors than you could shake a stick at. I was even a sponsor. Those things have no power to deliver you in your addiction. That is nothing but man-made rules. Do this, work these programs, get this sponsor, come here every day, and you can obtain your sobriety one day at a time. Keep it simple, stupid. None of that stuff works. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. Hey, amen. I'm glad y'all are in agreement with me. Amen. We're going to talk about why that's a lie here in a second. So I knew the ways of this world was not working for me. But I played along by their rules. You know, when you get out of the penitentiary, you have no choice but to go to AA and NAs. That's the stipulation. So I went to their programs, and I went and saw their people, and I got me a sponsor. By the way, they're probably more jacked up than you are. I'm just being honest, guys. Here you are. You got to go talk to somebody, and he's just as lost as you are. You're blind leading the blind, and you know it, and you're just like, man, it's only a matter of time. I'm going to be doing a bump. It's just, I knew what it was. All I know was this right here. I was, oh, what a wretched man I am. I was tired. I just didn't know how to receive help. I just didn't know what to do with myself. I was tired of what I always done, but I already took it. It was just the cards I was dealt in life. I will always be a user. I will always be in jails or prisons. It's just what I was dealt. I'll just get used to it and just roll out with it, because I always known it would only be a matter of time before I would get high, no matter how much I wanted not to. My second time out, I did exactly that. I said, the first time I said I would never go back. So the second time, I was sure disappointed in myself. So I thought, man, Chuck, come on, man, you're better than that. You got better sense than that, at least, man. Come on, would you say? You can't. That's 3.5 years the first time, 3.5 years the second time. That's too many years of my life. I ain't getting no younger. Come on now. So I had every desire not to go back and not do that stuff. And when I got out the second time, I owed what they call restitution. Let me just say, how many of you know, long before you ever accepted Christ, I don't want to confuse nobody here, so I want to explain what I'm saying. Long before you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you was a child of God. Let me tell you what I mean. How many of you know we serve a sovereign, omnipotent, holy, just a big God? He's a big God. He knows all things. He's in all things. So he knew if you would accept his Son as your Savior or not. He knew what it would take to get you to the place of getting you to where you realize you needed him. So God already knew the things in which it would take. That not only did he know who would, but he knew what it would take to get you there. And so I could see a lot of things that I was unable to see when I wasn't a child of God after I become a child of God, and I'll explain a little bit of that here in a second. But when I got out my second time, I owed what they call restitution. And so they sent me to a restitution center. How many of you know where Mod, Texas is? Amen. If you're from Texarkana or the surrounding areas, you should know where Mod, Texas is. Are you from Mod? Come on, she said. Cardinal, right here, baby. All right. Well, this is what I've learned about restitution centers. You're just there to give them money. That's it, brother. You're going to work, and when you get paid, matter of fact, you ain't going to see your paycheck. It's going to be direct deposited to them. What they do is they get you a job, and you go to work. And when you get paid on Fridays, that money is deposited to pay off your restitution for the fines in which you owe or the houses that you broke into. It's just paying the restitution. This place, however, put a little bit of money to the side, like maybe even 15% of your check to the side for you, for when you get out, you would have a little something to get a vehicle or an apartment or something. But praise God, they were trying to help. First thing I ever completed in my life. Every other time I've been to, I don't know how many restitution centers prior to that, and I would just bail. You didn't have to stay. You could run. They didn't have fencing. But anyway, I completed it. So in my mind, just being an ignorant youngster, ignorance is just lack of knowledge, by the way. In my mind, I thought, well, I'm in Mod. I have a little money. I don't have to go back to where I'm from. Nobody knows me here. Different people, places, and things. I can start over, huh? Yeah, I'm gonna get it's a clean start, man. I'm excited about this, Lord. I didn't say Lord because I didn't know Jesus then, but I was just excited to what was gonna happen because I just didn't know anybody. And so here's what I did. I did that. I kept the job that I had. I was working. How many of you know that the enemy makes methamphetamines in Texarkana, Texas, too. Yeah. You can run, but you can't hide from that sin. Amen? And until you, that, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But it was only a matter of time before I found myself in Texarkana using again. But you know what? Nobody was any more disappointed in Chuck than what Chuck was. But man, once you get back into that, and by the way, you don't have the ability on your own not to do that. Let me just be real with you guys. It's not coincidental. It's not just by chance that I've been through I don't know how many rehabs, how many restitution centers, why I just continue to fall back into my addiction time and time and time again. Nothing's coincidental about that. That's in you. I did not have the ability within my own not to do them things, man. It was just something that was, I just did it. I would stay away for a short while, but it was only a matter of time before it drug me back in. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I was beating myself up about, man, you messed up. You got away from all that, and here you sit. Anyways, I ended up in BCCC on a technical violation in 2010. At that time, I was getting tired. I was 35, and I was getting tired. I was just getting tired in a different way, not my normal tired. I was just, something was going on within me. I just didn't really realize what it was. I went through my parole hearing. They gave me 90 days ISF again. So, good deal. So, I'm going again to ISF. I had a friend of mine bringing me in some tobacco through maintenance. You know, Bugler cigarettes and Grizzly Dip. And we did this a few times, and I'm supposed to be leaving out on Wednesday. And that whole day Wednesday, I felt something going on inside of me. Amen? I can say amen because we're getting close. I felt something going on inside of me. I just didn't know what it was, but I knew something was different about this day. I was supposed to be leaving on a Wednesday. This was like on a Sunday. And I was supposed to be getting a drop in that day. And here I am. I'm just like, I'm feeling different. I'm just not sure what's going on. And what I didn't realize then that I know now is my time was getting close. The time was getting close. God had appointed a date for me before the foundations of this world, and that was getting close. So my spirit man was starting to well up a little bit. And sure enough, guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. Sure enough, that drop did not go through. I'm sitting upstairs on B-side and B-5, and I'm standing there, and I'm knowing something's not right because my maintenance homeboy from the world didn't walk by and just give me the nod that he got the drop, so I knew something was going on. And really, on the core, I really knew what it was. I really knew what at the end of the day what was going on. And then sure as them COs rounded that corner, and they pointed at me, I knew what it was. They said, Mansell, back against the wall. So I back against the wall, and I just turn around. I just put my hands behind my back. Sure enough, they come, and they put them cuffs on me. I always tell folks, you go to jail, in jail, you got some issues, homeboy. Hey, boy, you got a lockup. You going to jail inside jail, you need Jesus. But sure enough, guys, they locked me up. I was in those cuffs. And the whole time from walking from B5 to B-side segregation in those cuffs, God was revealing me to me for the very first time. I started seeing myself for who I really was. I was messed up, man. I had a lot of issues going on. Things was not going the way I had hoped they would go for me in my life. I was 35, and I knew... Somebody been praying for rain. Amen. Is it hot back there or something? So the whole time I'm walking to the segregation, I'm knowing God's revealing things to me. He's revealing me. I knew without any doubts I was headed back to the penitentiary for the third time, and I was just broke. I was broke inside my spirit, man. I was tired. I was ready to tap out. I didn't want to do this anymore. I'd never prayed a prayer. I've heard about Jesus in passing, but it was nothing serious. And when they put me in that segregation, and I turned around, and I put my hands through that little bean chute so they could take off them cuffs, when they slammed that little bean chute, what I didn't realize was the Spirit of God met me inside this segregation cell. When they slammed that bean chute, guys, that was my appointed time before the foundations of this earth. And something inside of me broke. And I just looked up and I didn't care who heard me. I wasn't concerned about all that. I was at a place of brokenness. And I said out loud, very audible, I said, if you are who everyone says you are, can you, will you, can you help a guy like myself? I'm tired of this. I am broke. I'm tired. And guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. I broke, and I just hit my knees for the very first time. I'd never prayed a prayer in my life, but I just said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know the mechanics of all this. To be honest with you, I don't care. All I know is this. If you was to let me out today, I'm going to go back to the only thing that I know to do. Please don't open up these doors. Do not let me out today because I can't do this on my own anymore. And I said, I promise you, I cried in that segregation. I poured out to him for at least 3 hours. I was just crying. And I got up from that. You know, at this point in time, guys, my heart was so broke. The anointing of the Spirit was so heavy inside that segregation. I didn't need a pastor to preach a good sermon to try to convince me of the reality of Jesus Christ. I didn't have to have somebody try to come in, a preacher or a teacher, to try to coerce me into believing that Jesus was the foundation. I had just prayed to him and said, will you, if you can, will you help me? And the Spirit was so powerful, I wept. What I didn't realize then that I realize now, that I was a sinner in the presence of a holy God. I couldn't help but cry in his presence. I was just weeping. When I got up, I knocked on that segregation door. They got that little square window. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the segregation, but they got that little square window. I knocked on it. My homeboy from the world was SSI. He was sweeping. I said, hey, bro, man, can you get me a Bible? And he said, Chuck, you all right? I said, bro, I ain't never been better in my life. If you could just give me one of them little brown Gideon Bibles. You ever seen them? You ever seen one of them little brown Gideon Bibles? Amen.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.